Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
I have something. I'm on a mission to join with Pastor Phil on his mission. And my mission is, before I leave here today, I want to pray four prayer decrees, just four. Four prayer decrees over every male in this building. And I'm going to say that I worded it in such a way that every female in this building can take it too. All right? And so I don't want the ladies to bail on me. I don't think it's wrong to be in a church where, when it's Mother's Day or ladies' events, that the men can celebrate the greatness and the femininity and the femaleness and all that is assigned to them. And I think it is also awesome when men are able to say to the ladies in our life, we need your support. And we need you to cheer. That means I need you to be saying amen and jumping in here and elbowing somebody and all of that as well. And whatever you don't celebrate, whatever you don't honor, whatever you don't support, you condemn to die. So we celebrate the men, especially today. It's Father's Day. I'm going to preach to men, not just the fathers. I'm going to preach to men because some of you will one day be men. You're younger men. Some of you are in different positions of life. I want to speak especially to the men, but I'm working it in such a way that I believe all of you ladies will get something out of it as well. If everybody would agree with that, say amen. All right, so I'm going to read a few more verses than normal. All out of the same book of Judges, and that way you can track with me. But I'm not apologizing for reading the Bible in church. I just wanted you just to be ready for it, so I can give you a few verses. If you're good with that, everybody say amen. This is Judges chapter 3, and Judges chapter 6, verse 3. Thank you. And so it came to pass that when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came upon them, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and they came up against them. I'm skipping verses and trying to make it economical. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, I'm skipping through, and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And he said unto them, oh God, how can I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh. I live in a poor town, in a poor family, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, I will be with you, and you shall smite Midian as if he was only one person. This is Judges chapter 7. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many. Let's go to the next verse, 3. Now therefore, go and proclaim in the ears of the people and say to them, whoever's afraid, go home. And there turned around 22,000 people. Now I have preached some messages and made people leave, but I ain't never lost 22,000 people in one message. And then there was only 10,000 left. This is verse 4 here. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I'm going to test them there. And we're going to see how they do at the water. Okay, let me just go verse number 5. So he brought them down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that laps the water with his tongue like a dog does, put him on one side. Everyone that gets down on one knee and brings the water up, put them on another side. Verse 6 says, and the number of them that lapped pulling their hand to their mouth were 300 men. But the rest of the people drank another way. Chapter 7, verse 7. Almost done, guys. And the Lord said to Gideon, by these 300 men, I will save you and deliver Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go to their other place. Last verse is coming right here. Judges chapter 8, verse number 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing. Faint, yet pursuing. I'm going to preach to you today on weary, yet winning. Somebody say, I might be weary, but I'm still winning. Somebody has counted you out. I think you need to find somebody and say, I may be weary, but I am yet winning. Find three more people and tell them, I'm weary, yet winning. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Where's my screen? All right, here we go. Life is lived on levels and experienced in seasons. Levels are determined by knowledge and understanding. You have to understand and know things to move from one level to another level. An employee knows something, but to become a manager and move to another level, you may need to know something or have a different skill set or understand something that is not required of an employee. To be an owner requires yet another skill set of things that you have to learn and to understand. I've known people that wanted to start personal businesses, whether they would be a nail shop or whether they would be a detail car shop or a body shop or something, and they find out that moving from doing it to managing it is a whole nother thing. It's a whole nother thing. Life is lived on levels. Levels are determined by knowledge and understanding. It's experienced in seasons, and seasons are determined by time and how we move through that time and what time teaches us. All of life has to do with these kind of cycles, levels, and seasons. That's how we live life. The problem is that if you get stuck in an incomplete cycle, it produces frustration. I don't know, you don't have to say amen early on in the message, but I don't know if you've ever felt stuck. I don't know if you've ever felt like it's something to want to get to another place and another level in life and not know how to get there. It's something to believe that God has something better for you and not know how to obtain it. It becomes an incomplete cycle, because if we read Genesis 8:22, it tells us about the cycle of the world. As long as the earth remains, there is seed, time, and harvest. It's a cycle. And life is a cycle, but the problem is that when you get stuck in an incomplete cycle, you find yourself like Gideon. Because for 7 years, it says that after they had sown, that the Midianites and Amalekites would come in and steal their harvest. That's an incomplete cycle, because you don't sow unless you expect to reap. Most of life is about sowing and reaping. It's a foundational principle. If you want something out of something, you got to sow something into something. The old song said, nothing from nothing. And you got to have something if you want to be with me. And it's an incomplete cycle, and life is about sowing and reaping. It's about investment and return. And each season requires a different skill set, and it requires something different out of you. Having a baby and having children is sowing. I ain't talking about a week. I'm talking about this sowing. Sowing. You have the sowing seasons. Beginning anything is the hardest part of anything. Beginning it, getting it started, because that's a sowing. It's a sowing time. But if the cycle is complete, it can be seed, some time, and a harvest. It can be sowing and reaping. It can be investment and return. An incomplete cycle is when you find yourself doing the sowing, but every year when it came time for the harvest, the Midianites came and put them into an incomplete cycle. An incomplete cycle demoralizes you because you get tired of giving out and nothing coming in. You get tired of starting over but not getting anywhere. Who am I talking to? And if you're a young person trying to get started in the world today and a young man trying to figure out how to have a family and how to get married and what am I doing if I have college loans, or what am I doing trying to get a house, and what am I doing trying to raise kids when nobody taught me how to raise kids, and all of the things that go, and then you find yourself trying to get to another level, but it's an incomplete cycle because the enemy keeps robbing you of your harvest. The problem is that they developed a whole system around an incomplete cycle. The system that they developed was they built caves so that when the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people from the east came, that they could hide in the caves while their harvest was being stolen, because they got used to the negative cycle that was incomplete. They got used to sowing but never getting anything out of it. And so they built a whole life around that. I think you understand where I'm going with that, that it is possible to build your whole life around some kind of dysfunction or some addiction or some problem or something and something. And you know that there's something more in you, but you've already built a whole life around hiding in your cave. It's amazing how every season requires something different. You know, I'm not super old, but I'm in a season of my life where it's more about comfortability than it is coolness. You know, when I was younger, everything had to be cool, you know, and whatever, but it's about comfortability for me now, just so you know. And Pastor Mark and I was catching up for lunch the other day, and I realized as I'm walking into the restaurant, I still have on my house slippers. Because I had got up that morning and put my clothes on, decided I'm going to put my shoes on when I get ready to go. And I'm walking around the house in my house slippers. And, you know, and so I'm good with it. So I just told Pastor Mark, we walk in, just full disclosure, I got on my house slippers, you know. It's about comfort. That's a different season. Men and boys, and I'm sure ladies do the same. I'm sure ladies do the same, but talking to the men and the boys is that you go through the seasons of life, because when you're a young guy, you're looking up to all your sports peoples. Baseball, football, soccer, basketball, all that kind of stuff. And your whole life, you're looking up to them. Then you get to a certain place where you realize you're older than the players. I'm in the season where I'm older than the coaches. They talk about the coaches is retiring now. And Kathy and I have been watching the games, the NBA play, the NBA finals. Loving it. How many want the Pacers to win? Yeah, well, you're wrong. Okay, so how many believe the Thunder is going to win? How many of you ain't paying attention to none of it? There you go. Praise Jehovah. That means you got a lot of kids involved in their own sports and you're sick of it. So anyway, Kathy and I are making a thing out of it, because it's just, you know, she and I are there. And so, you know, we figure out what we're going to order. We're going to order some wings. We're going to make something healthy. What are we going to do? And we're going to sit there and we're going to watch the game. And then I'm realizing, you know, the Thunder has the youngest chronological age team in the NBA. Like the average age of the team is 25. I'm like, I got kids older than y'all. And then they talk about the coaches going to retire, you know, all those kind of things. Every part of life requires something different. The problem is when you get stuck in an incomplete cycle. when it's the same thing. Two steps forward, one step back. You're trying to get forward and you're trying to go and make something different because there's something in you that knows that there's something better for you, but you don't know how to get there. The thing about problems and the thing about pain is it will teach you to pray. I'm going through my verses now, just in case you want to know. The Bible said that because they were impoverished by the Midianites, Amalekites, and the people from the east, that they began to cry unto the Lord. You know, pain doesn't require of you to have had a prayer class to pray. And you know, when you're in a good space in life and you've been in church for a long time, then we study prayer. We study prayer and intercession, and we learn how to pray hopefully better and more efficiently and more accurately and more often and all of those things that we learn how to do. But if you have never had a prayer class, pain will get you walking the floor. Yeah, pain will cause you to cry out unto God. And that's what happened with them. They began to cry out unto God because they were tired of 7 years. I don't know what took them 7 years. You don't get to steal my harvest for 7 years before I start praying. I'm mad after the first year. And for 7 years they sowed, and it came to pass when they had sown for 7 years that the harvest was stolen from them. They built their life hiding in a cave, and then they cried out to God. God comes to Gideon. He says, I'm going to deliver the Midianites into your hands, you mighty man of valor. When I read that, and Gideon's response to it was, how can I do this? I come from a bad neighborhood, bad family. They broke. I'm broke. I'm the least. We the least. Ain't got no help. How can I do this? This was interesting to me because I realized that Gideon's psychology and his lens of seeing the world was built around a cycle that was never completed because for 7 years he had never had a harvest. And God is speaking to his potential, and God is speaking to his future. And many times we limit ourselves because we're judging everything that God can do by where we are right now. By where we were raised and how we were raised and who we got, all of we judge everything that is possible by what we can look at right now. But I'm somewhere in my future, and I look much better than I look right now. And God was saying unto Gideon, oh, you are a mighty man of valor, and I'm going to deliver you. I'm getting around to my four prayers, so I got to be careful with my time because I know y'all got barbecues and things. But the deal, which was amazing to me, it said that the people from the east and Amalekites and Midianites were so many of them that you couldn't number them. That said their camels were like the sand of the sea. There were so many of them, outnumbered. I don't know if you've ever felt outnumbered. You ever felt like your problems came in threes? It's one thing for the Amalekites to come and the Midianites. It's like things happen in groups of threes. No appliances ever break down one at a time. Not in our house. Our appliances come into agreement, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And they all decide to break down at one time. It's like problems come in groups of threes. I don't know what it is. And he's outnumbered. He's outnumbered. And here comes the word of the Lord to him. The people that are with you are too many. He's already outnumbered. Facing armies that cannot even be counted, and all he has is 30,000 men. And the Lord said, those that are with you are too many. Here we go. Moving to where God wants you to be in life is you got to stop listening to so many people. I want to say to somebody, those that are with you are too many. I'm going to say it again because I know you don't believe me yet, but hang on. Those that are with you are too many. See, it's not about how many are with you. That's the story of getting. It's not how many are with you. It's who. If the only people around you only know what you know, if you got fools in the morning, fools in the noontime, and fools when the sun go down, they ain't no help. I went to a boxing match one time, and I was watching the boxing match, and I was seeing one guy win and the other guy lose, and one of the things I noticed was that the one guy who was losing had too many people in his corner. The guy who was winning had a trainer and a coach. He knew who to listen to. The other one had like five or six friends in the corner, all yelling at him at the same time, all giving different instructions, because those that were with him were too many. Some people are taking too much counsel from people who don't know anything. I'm just going to say amen for myself. Amen. 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 Because you can't talk to everybody about everything. Someplace in life, here's what I believe Gideon was being taught. You got to find your people. You got to find your team. You got to find those that you can trust. You got to find those who know how to keep a confidence. You got to find those who know how to speak truth to you. You got to find those people that you can hang out with and move through seasons with. Because part of the problem of having too many people around you is everybody's not going to let you change. Some of them don't realize for you to get to one place in your life, to the next place in your life, you have to become somebody else. I'm not talking about fake. I'm not talking about recreate, all of that. I'm talking about growth. I'm talking about some people will hold you in the same place that you've always been because they like the version of you that they knew before God told you you were a mighty man. They won't let you change from a boyfriend to a husband. They won't let you change from a young man to a middle-aged man. They won't let you change from a single man to a married man. They won't let you change from a married man to being a husband and a father. Each one of those things requires a different skill set, and you can't go be a husband and a father still trying to act like you're a teenager. How many are still glad you came? All right, I'm getting around to my prayers in a minute. I'm just trying to get you in a place where you really need these prayers. You're like, please pray, please pray. And the thing is that if your group is too big, I'm not talking about friends. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, your corner. I know a lot of people. But I have maybe less than a handful of people that I would actually consider like life counselor, life, do life. I don't play whatever that game show is, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I don't play phone a friend. Too many people. You know, those that are with you are too many. It doesn't mean you have to be ugly or rude or cut people off or be nasty. It means that you got to be careful because God said to Gideon, I know you feel outnumbered. I know you feel like you don't have any help, but those that are with you are too many. Most of you have had to learn, like all of us did the hard way, that sometimes it's a lot easier to open up a door to your business than it is to put them back out and shut that door. Have you ever had anybody that you told all your business to and then regretted it? And now they think they all part of it. He said, those that are with you are too many. And sometimes, if you have too many people around you, they won't let you evolve. They won't let you grow. They want you to always be what you always have been, not realizing that life is lived on levels and experienced in seasons, and that God is moving you from one season to another season and from one level to another level. And it doesn't make you better than, doesn't make you right, doesn't make them wrong. It means I got to live my life. And I thought that I thought there was no way I could do it, but God called me a mighty man. So this is where getting is that. So God says, here's how I'm going to test them. Here's how I'm going to test them. Take them down to the water. It's a whole other message. I ain't got time to preach it because we're getting ready to pray. But you got to watch how your people respond to the water. And Gideon is standing out there and watching how they respond to the water. And so they go down to the water. One group of people go down to the water. See, if I grunt when I get up, Kathy, come help me. When I was young, I prayed on my knees. Now I walk when I pray in my house slippers. The devil is a lie. You ain't blocking my prayer. I'm going to get me some Crocs and pray in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm fixing to do. And Kathy and I were in the house the other day. And I said, I'm going to get a jar out. Every time one of us grunts, we got to put some money in it or something. Because we caught ourselves. You were like, oh, you know. Anyway, it's a new season. And so he said, watch how they drink. Watch them at the water. Watch them at the water. It's a whole group of them go down there, and they start, the Bible says, lapping like a dog. They just drinking like a dog. 300 guys go down there and get on a knee, take the water, and do like that. He said, hey, those 300, that's your crew. Because if you do this, the only thing you can see is yourself. Can I say it like I feel it? You got to watch out for people that can't watch out for you. Because if you got your face in the water, all you can see is your own reflection. But if I'm going into battle, I got to get with somebody who can keep their eye on what we are doing while you are drinking. And you're going to get refreshed a little slower, but I got to watch out for you if you can't watch out for me. Oh, my Lord, I just said something. If the only thing you got is a selfie, if the only thing you can see is your own reflection, if the only reason you hanging out with me by the water is what you can get out of it for yourself, then I got to know that you're not part of my inner. You can't be up in my corner because I got to watch out for you because you ain't watching out for me. God said that's your 300 right there. And thank you. And you know the story about how he gave each of them a lamp. Divided the 300 into three groups, 100 here, 100 there, 100 there. Gave them a lamp and pitcher and gave them a trumpet. And you know, he said, when I blow my trumpet, you blow your trumpet. Everybody got in their place. And boom. And there they did. Coming to my last point now. And the Bible said, this is what we read out of Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And it says that when they crossed over Jordan, they were faint, yet pursued. They were faint, yet pursued. If you quit every time you get tired, if you quit every time it gets tough, you're never going to get to where you're going, wherever that is. I'm not talking about exhausting yourself. I'm not talking about not taking care of yourself. Come on, don't preach your own message. Hear what I'm saying, because my message is weary yet winning. Me being able to win is not based on my own strength. Oh, that's why God told him, if I let you take all them people with you, then they go act like they did it. I'm going to whittle this down to show you that with me, it's not about how many are with you. It's whether or not they are walking in step together. Anybody that's ever done anything, I don't care whether it's tried to pay off a debt, whether it's trying to raise up some kids, whether it's trying to be married to your person, I don't care what it is, trying to move into a house, everybody along the way gets weary. The Bible teaches us, does it not, that even the young men shall become weary, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And before you get out of here today, I just wanted to encourage you, because it's possible for you to be faint yet pursuing. And it's sometimes it's a little tough that you have to have somebody to encourage, because you're trying to pursue and you're trying to pay this thing off and you're trying to organize your money. And then about the time you get it organized, then your car breaks down and it makes you weary. And then you think, like, I'm dig myself back up out of it. You get inspired again and you get enthusiastic again. And then you're trying to do this and you get one kid out of this and another kid goes into that and they're wearing you out and you're tired of getting called from the school and from the courthouse. And then you're trying to do this and then there's about 10 sporting events that they have to be at. And you say, where did my life go? And you can be faint, that's what I came to tell you. You can be faint and still pursuing. You can be weary and still winning. And you're trying to figure it out and trying to get to where you're going and trying to do all the things that God has put in your heart. And you got to remember that God called you a mighty man, but sometimes even the mighty men get tired. When you leave this place today, we're going to have a prayer for you, that you are going to be weary and yet winning. Now, I'm going to lead four prayers, and we can just have a little bit of just easy something. Four prayers. The way I like to do the prayer decrees, as you know, is that I'm going to throw it out there, and I would like for everybody that feels like it to agree with it, because it's for somebody. That means you say something, you make some kind of noise. Yeah, almost like that. And I hope that was a man. Okay, I was just checking. That was pretty deep. Okay, y'all will get that later. Okay, forget. And I'm going to throw it out there. And if this prayer is for you, or you would like it for it to be somebody, then just, you know, put a little life in the atmosphere. And if you want it, and if it's for you, whether you're a man or a woman, then just jump up with me and I'm going to pray it. I'm just going to do four prayers. I'm going to do four prayers, and I'm going to believe God that you'll never be the same. There's some guys that came here today who are at the end of your rope. The thing about guys is many times they'll suffer in silence, and they don't say a lot. From time to time, I've felt in my heart when I was talking with a guy, whether on the phone or person or something like that, and you hear that little tone like, yeah, I'm hanging in there. And I've learned over the years to realize that's an alarm. Ladies don't really have that problem. If they're going through something, all their friends know. But guys will suffer in silence. And sometimes a guy doesn't say a whole lot. But there's some guys here today that are at the end. And here's what I want to do before I pray these prayers. Here's what I want to do, because I don't want to just pray the prayer that you won't feel the pressure of life. What I want to pray the prayer is that pressure is pushing you towards God like the Midianites. And you came into this place today and you're not serving God and you're not living it and you're not trying to be a phony and you're not trying to make somebody to feel like you wrote part of the Bible or that you're Jesus' second cousin. But you came in this place today and you say, you know, the truth is, I'm not living it. I am a sinner. But I know that God has something for me. And today, on this Father's Day, I want to give my life straight to Jesus. And I'm calling on him today to save me because I cannot save myself. And you can pray this prayer with your addicted self. You can pray this prayer with your sideways self. You can pray this prayer with your going through a divorce self. You can pray this prayer with I don't know how to get out of this ditch self. You can be up and out. You can have the biggest business you ever had in your life and your family can't stand you no more. It don't matter whether you're down and out or up and out. You're just out. But today we're inviting you in. And Jesus is knocking on the door. And I'm hanging here right there on this space just to weigh everything against you down right now because I'm getting ready to pray this prayer. And you say, Bishop, when you pray that prayer, pray with me and for me because today is my day and I am turning it around for real today. And if that's you, you need to jump up on your feet immediately because I'm fixing to move on without you. I'm fixing to move on without you. I'm fixing to move on without you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Everybody pray it out loud. Dear God, I come to you now in Jesus' name, not in my own goodness, but in yours. Not in my own rightness, but yours. Thank you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin, and I will serve you as you show me how. Now, these welcome hosts, people, you see these people with these bags? They're not just shopping over here. Would these people with these bags, anyone that prayed that prayer, if you throw your hand up in the air, wherever you may be, they just have a little bag for you that will help you stay connected and all that kind of stuff, all right? Everybody clap while they're doing that right there. There's a young man right here. All right, four prayers. Are y'all ready? I said four prayers. Are y'all ready? Four prayers are coming at you. This is the first prayer. Come on, help me out. May the Lord be with you. That's the first prayer that comes out of Gideon. He said, I am with you. And I pray that when you leave here today, y'all ain't jumping up, but I don't care. This is the first prayer. If I want to pray for every man, every woman, every person, that may the Lord be with you. May the Lord be with you. I pray over your life in the name of Jesus that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever's happening in your life, that the Lord will be with you. That you will know that God is with you in your comings and your goings and your rising ups and in your sitting downs, in the good days and in the bad days. May you never be without knowing that God is with you. He is the Lord who is with us. Now, this is the time when you give God about 10 seconds of praise for that one right there. Are y'all ready for prayer number two? Prayer number two. May the Lord be with you. No, make number two. Here we go. May you be mighty. That's what comes out of Gideon. May you be mighty. Somebody may have told you you were weak. Somebody may have told you you were slow. Somebody may have told you you were the least. Somebody may have discarded you and disrespected you and put you on the outside. And you've been spending half of your life trying to get over what somebody else did. But I declare over you, may you be mighty. May you do exploits. May you rise up. May you do what nobody said you could do. May you break down every wall. May you win over every enemy. Everybody say yes. Come on. All right, I got two more prayers. I got two more prayers. May you find your people. No. May you find your people. Everybody grinning at you ain't for you. Everybody smiling at you ain't hoping you win. Everybody you talking to ain't worth talking to. May you find your people. May those that are with you are too many. I decree that God will give you a discerning spirit. I pray that God will add people into your corner. I pray that you know how to put some people up out of your corner and say, I'm listening to too many people. May you find in this season, may you find your people. May you find those who can help you. May you find those who know what you don't know. May you find those who can open the door for you in the name of Jesus. Everybody that agrees with us says yes. setting up because I only got one more prayer, and you got to be up here to get this last one. Ready for this last one? When I kept saying, where are you at? I kept getting this picture in my mind of Gideon hiding in caves. Almost like you could hear the Holy Ghost say, come out, wherever you are. Whew. Too many have, because of cycles and seasons, unresolved seasons, uncomplete cycles, have built a life out of hiding. Whew. Come out, wherever you are, however you are. I'm getting ready to pray this last prayer. But I hear the word of the Lord saying to Pastors Phil and Meredith, I hear the Lord saying to you, because this is a word I need to give in front of the church, because there's a part in it for you guys. I hear the word of the Lord saying that you will see in this season him to drop you into a higher level arena of leadership in this community. And I hear that, and the reason that I felt to release it just now, I didn't hear it till this morning. This morning I heard it. Because it has to do with strategic moves and what we're involved in. I know exactly what it's like to be the word of the Lord, like Gideon said. You know, I know what it's like to be involved in too much stuff. And for God to have to wean that down, say you can't do everything or be involved in everything. I don't know. But I do know that I heard this word strategy. That's what happened to Gideon. God said, I'm going to give you a strategy. But the reason I say it in the presence of all of you standing, and for those who are joining us online, is because part of the catalyst of getting you there is going to be the push up under you by these people right here. That means it's the support, the prayer support, the support of the people of God, the support with the words of your mouth and the things that you could do. And for you all just to, every time you see him, say, go ahead on. When you blow your trumpet, we're going to blow our trumpet. And we're going to run over top of the devil in this community. And we're going to do something huge for God. Everybody that agrees with that, could you just clap your hands one time? I got one more prayer to pray. I just need you to get up a little bit. All right, here it comes. here come. I'm going to pray the prayer, and then y'all going to go back into where you just were. I like him leading on the guitar. He just couldn't come out there because he don't have the other thing. I thought he was trying to tell me no at first. I was just like, what? What? And when you get this one, we're going to make some noise like it was. You remember when the Pacers won that game with not even a second left to go the other night? All right. Whatever. We're going to make noise like we just won something. And we're going to make enough noise to let the devil know God has a people in this town and in this community and in this church that's going to do something. Okay, so are y'all ready? All right, here comes the last prayer. Here it is right here. May you win even when you are weary. Come on.